Hello, everyone. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Jasmine says. This is Regina, and I have Jasmine and Danielle here with me. It was a beautiful day in Pueblo today. We repotted the plants, went for a bike ride, walked the dog, got Donna's room ready for her. And we're here tonight for Holy Spirit Guides. This is the time that we are reading the messages from ReginaDonnaAkers.com. These are the messages that were given to me, the personal messages given to me by Holy Spirit to be helpful to me. For a few years now, we've been looking at these messages in chronological order, and we are now up to November 2006. And I'm going to give you a link to a message. This is the next message that we're going to look at. The name of the message is Meeting Our Brother Where He Is. What I am going to do, of course, before I begin reading the message, is go into prayer. If you all would join me, I would be very grateful. Holy Spirit, my prayer now is for a state of stillness, a state of peace, a state of joy, so what I am really asking for, Holy Spirit, is your help, your guidance, your reminders to help me notice when I have gotten caught up in listening to the thinking mind again. Because it is only the judgments, the fears, the worries of the thinking mind that blocks the natural experience of stillness, peace, and joy. I don't really need to ask for stillness, peace, and joy, do I? Because it is my natural state. I don't need to ask for what is mine. But in partnership with you, Holy Spirit, it feels appropriate to ask you to remind me to let go of ego whenever ego is showing up in my mind, capturing my attention. I appreciate your reminders. I welcome your reminders. And when they come, I will listen. I will let go of whatever distraction I have grabbed a hold of. And I will return myself to the heart, to the stillness, peace, and joy that is my natural heritage. Thank you for your guidance and for your help. Amen. All right. So I gave you all a link to a message from November 2006. And again, the name of the message is Meeting Our Brother Where He Is. So I'm just going to start reading the message and we'll see what's here. I had a question that day. Holy Spirit, what would you have us know about meeting someone where they are? It's a good question. Here's the Holy Spirit's answer. You must remove the beam from your eye before you can remove the tiny speck from your brother's eye. Know that if you do not see your brother as wholly perfect and complete in this moment, you are looking at your brother through the beam in your own eye. First, bring your beam to me and ask for help removing it from your eye. When you see only perfection around you, you meet your brother where he is, and you may be helpful to him. I love that. I don't know if you all heard that little twist. I don't know about you guys, but in the old way of thinking, I guess, because the twist brought us into a new way of thinking. The old way of thinking, meeting my brother where he is, somehow there was a less than idea in that. Like, I need to lower myself to where he is and meet him there. You follow that idea? I need to lower myself to where he is and meet him there. And Holy Spirit is really saying, if that is the perception, if that is what we think meeting our brother where he is means, then actually we've got a beam in our eye. And we can't be at all helpful to our brother at that time. Our brother is in perfection. Our brother is perfection. And if we see our brother in any other way, we are not ready to be helpful to him. It's not the time to try and be helpful. Instead, it's the time to go to Holy Spirit and ask for help ourselves. Help us to see differently. We have an error in our mind. When we see only perfection, truly, then we are meeting our brother where he is, aren't we? And then we can be helpful. Then our mind is clear, and then we are ready to be used by Holy Spirit. Using the language of A Course in Miracles, we are miracle-minded at that time. So I'm going to read the first paragraph again and then move into the second paragraph. You must remove the beam from your eye before you can remove the tiny speck from your brother's eye. Know that if you do not see your brother as wholly perfect and complete in this moment, you are looking at your brother through the beam in your own eye. First, bring your beam to me and ask for help removing it from your eye. When you see only perfection around you, you meet your brother where he is, and you may be helpful to him. If you are not yet healed, you can be used for healing. But this usefulness does not come from you or your perception of the problem. I ask you to remember that there is no problem, even if you do not see it that way. In remembering there is no problem, you step back from the desire to fix what isn't there. As you step back, one who does see clearly can come through you to provide the help that is most useful now. So again, if I perceive a problem, if I perceive something that needs to be fixed, then truly I am in my wrong mind. I am in my wrong mind. That is not how the Holy Spirit sees. That is not how we see when we are in our right mind. So this is not the time to try and be helpful. Try fixing someone, changing their perception, changing their way of seeing. This is merely a time to go within to Holy Spirit and ask for help with our way of seeing. If we are clear, and I do mean clear, that there is no problem, that absolutely everything is perfect exactly as it is, the entire script is exactly as the Son of God wants it to be in this moment, nothing at all can be out of whack. If this is how I see, then Holy Spirit can come through my state of perfection, through my state of understanding that perfection is all there is, and do whatever is most helpful, whatever is being asked for, by the heart of my brother, if there is something that is being asked for by the heart of my brother. But I need to remain in that state of willingness. And the state of willingness is the state of willing to let all things be as they are, to change nothing. We talked a lot about this last night. If I feel something needs to be changed, then I am not in my miracle mind. And I am not ready to be helpful in that moment. If you are not healed, you can be used for healing. That's nice to know, isn't it? We don't have to be awakened in order to be helpful. But we do have to be in our right mind in the moment. We do have to be miracle-minded in the moment. We do have to be out of the way in the moment in order to be helpful. If you are not yet healed, you can be used for healing, but this usefulness does not come from you or your perception of the problem. I ask you to remember that there is no problem, even if you do not see it that way. In remembering there is no problem, you step back from the desire to fix what isn't there. As you step back, one who does see clearly can come through you to provide the help that is most useful now. As helpfulness comes through you, it rises up from a place that is not the problem-solving thinking mind. It rises up from a place that sees no problems. And yet, the words spoken or the action taken will speak to one who believes a problem exists. Trust these words or the action without judging what has been said or done. Remember that you do not know what is best, and so you cannot judge the answer as it is given through you. The word that just came to my mind was puppet. Puppet. You know, a puppet doesn't think. A puppet is literally just moved. A puppet does not have its own opinion of what's most helpful. This is really what Holy Spirit is asking us to do, to be a puppet, His puppet. Some people may feel offended by that word, but the part of the mind that is offended is the ego, the self-will, the part of the mind that is in the way of us being truly helpful. I could choose a word that might be more acceptable, like vessel, be the vessel for the Holy Spirit. But the word that I was given was puppet. Puppet, yeah. Lisa's giggling. She says she likes vessel more. I suppose that I was given the word puppet because we need to look at that. We need to look at any judgments we may have against the idea of puppet, being a puppet, any negative feelings we may have about the idea of being a puppet, because those judgments, those negative feelings are coming from the ego, from the part of us that does not want to get out of the way, from the part of us that does want to have an opinion, our own ideas about what should be done, maybe even take some of the credit. Puppet. Can we allow ourselves to be a puppet? To be in total acceptance of all things? To not need anything to be changed, to be willing to have no opinion about any situation, and allow ourselves just to be moved like a puppet. I see surrendering to puppet. That's good. Surrendering to puppet is good. When we can surrender to that, then we are really letting our ego get out of the way, aren't we? And willing to be a puppet. Completely limp, absolutely do nothing, unless you pick me up, Holy Spirit, and pull my strings. So again, Holy Spirit has said, as helpfulness comes through you, it rises from a place that is not the problem-solving thinking mind. It rises up from a place that sees no problem. And yet, the words spoken or the action taken will speak to one who believes a problem exists. Trust these words or the action without judging what has been said or done. Remember that you do not know what is best, and so you cannot judge the answer as it is given through you. Puppet. Listen to an answer as it is given through you. Remember that the answer is always given to you also. In this way, you focus on removing the beam from your own eye, that one day you may see the perfection that is and always is as it is now. So when we are in our right mind and we are able to be used as a puppet, let's also be listening. Let's be paying attention to our guidance, because it is for us too. The reason our puppet has been picked up and been moved is because whatever needs to be done or needs to be said is also helpful to us. If we didn't in some way need that too, another puppet would have been used. Remember, Holy Spirit is limitless. He does not need to use any particular body in order to do his work. He can use any body, any willing body at all. So if he chose this body, it means because this body was willing, and it means because it was also helpful to this body, to this body's awakening. All right, so that's the end of that first message. I have already given the link, but what I'm going to do is give the link again, because I see a few more people have entered the room. And we're going to be going to a different message that's on this page. If you were reading along with me just now, you'll need to scroll up. You'll want to scroll up. It looks like I wrote a little personal message first, so we'll read that. The message that we're going to read now from November 2006 is, "Desire is the power that drives all choices." If you're just clicking on the link for the first time, when you get there, you'll scroll down. But if you were reading along with me in the previous message, you're going to scroll up. We're looking at a message from Monday, November 27th, 2006. Desire is the power that drives all choices. Okay, first I'm going to read what I wrote. It says, "Hello, friends. Often I ask a question of the Holy Spirit because I feel guided to ask that question. You can usually tell when I do that because I ask the Holy Spirit, 'What do you want to share about dot, dot, dot?' It's wonderful to learn from the Holy Spirit when even the questions are guided. When writing with the Holy Spirit, I sometimes judge as I write. It's kind of funny if you think about it. Who am I to judge the Holy Spirit? But I seem to do it anyway. This morning, The Holy Spirit used the subtle judgments that I was making as a teaching example. The Holy Spirit used my judgments to show us how we subtly cling to the world and deny our true self. It is a perfect teaching example. It's funny as we look within and find how much we cling to this world. We even cling to the world by judging words that are used in communication. Ha ha! Now we can be more alert to our defenses and choose to make another choice. With love, Regina. So let's see what happened that day. Let's find out. I'm scrolling down now. The question that I was guided to ask that day. A Course in Miracles says, "The world you see must be denied, for sight of it is costing you a different kind of vision. What do you want to share about this thought?" And so here is the answer the Holy Spirit gave. Denying the world you see is difficult for you because you want so much to believe in it. This is why you must resist temptation to easily succumb to the world and all of its worldly whims. Each time you are swept up into it, you hold on to it a little more. Let me explain what I mean by these words. I see your temptation to judge them. I guess I'm in a different state of mind now because I don't even recall the judgments. But it looks like, oh, he's going to tell us what the judgments were. So here we go. That's good. He says, the first word you felt tempted to judge was resist. You said to yourself, but I am not to resist anything. I am to allow everything. Let me correct this error in your mind. You are not to believe everything. This is why I say you are to deny the world. If you believe a certain person is attacking you, you fear the attack or outcome of the attack, and you resist the attack out of fear. In this, you are not allowing. You are trying to control, because you believe events must play out your way for you to be safe and happy. This emphasizes the belief in lack and separation within the mind. It isn't helpful to you. However, if you see the opportunity to perceive attack and you resist by remembering you can choose differently, you are denying the world and its seeming reality. You are allowing events to be as they are by realizing that as they are is meaningless. In this way, you are instantly released from the perception of attack and free to respond to guidance that is not modeled by lack of clarity. So again, what's happening, it looks like, is that I was having a reaction to the word resist. In the beginning paragraph, the Holy Spirit said, denying the world you see is difficult for you because you want so much to believe in it. And then the second sentence said, this is why you must resist temptation to easily succumb to the world and all of its worldly whims. Well, first of all, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that teaching. And in fact, if you were here last night, this was the key of last night's teaching, even though last night's teaching was about acceptance. Acceptance, we learned last night. Acceptance. Bless you, Jasmine. Acceptance is being willing to let whatever seems to be in the dream be exactly as it is. It's not feeling the need to change anything. That's acceptance. And we talked about the fact that we can tell that we are not in acceptance when we do want to change things, when we want to control things, organize things, fix things. We're not in acceptance. Now, Holy Spirit is asking us to resist that desire to change things. In other words, when the ego comes up in me, and the ego says, this absolutely must be different, or I cannot be happy, or this must absolutely be different, or I will not feel safe. He's asking me to resist following that thought. Another word that maybe would have been used is pause. And just like maybe we liked the word vessel more than puppet, maybe we like the word pause more than resist temptation. But is there actually a difference in meaning there? If we're willing to go behind the words, listen to the teaching, isn't it the same teaching? So what part of our mind is it that would judge the word resist and ignore the teaching? Obviously, it's the part of the mind that doesn't want us listening to the teaching. The part of the mind that wants us to ignore the teaching. So that part of my mind was active as I was writing. Because when Holy Spirit gave me the second sentence of this message, that part of my mind wanted to probably put down the pen, judge the entire message, so that I would not continue to listen to Spirit because of the use of one word. But Holy Spirit is teaching us that if we resist the desire to react to the world, and instead be willing to step back into the practice of watching the mind, breathing, being still, letting that desire to change things pass, this is how we step into true acceptance. This is how we get to clarity. But we are not going to ever get to clarity if we always listen to the ego, if we never resist or pause. At some point, we have to resist that temptation. And if any of you are doing this, then you know that sometimes it takes a lot of strength. You know that. It's not easy, always. Sometimes what the ego is telling us, the ego's story is, well, it's a story that really has our attention. You know, like we really do believe we can't be happy if this situation doesn't change. Or we really do believe that we can't feel safe if this situation doesn't change. And it takes a strong resisting within us not to just go and do what ego is asking us to do. It takes a strength, something more than willingness, determination. It takes determination. And this is really what Holy Spirit is referring to when it says resist temptation. It's referring to be willing to call forth your determination not to follow the ego when the ego is very strong. Right? Be willing to call forth your determination not to follow the ego when the ego is very strong. The example that Holy Spirit is using is the example of perceiving attack. And I think probably one reason that example is being used is because in November 2006, I received that message that taught attack is not real. And in fact, if you come to Regina Donaker's Holy Spirit guides all of the time, then you know that the last three in a row were looking at that message, that attack is attack possible, was the name of the message. And the answer was no, attack is not possible. So now Holy Spirit is saying, when you perceive attack, of course, there's something in you, something that wants to be done. Maybe ego wants you to quickly defend yourself, right? Maybe ego wants you to sneak out the back door so you don't have to face this attack, right? This perceived attack. You know, either defend, attack back, or avoid, probably. And what Holy Spirit is asking us to do is to resist the temptation to defend, resist the temptation to fight back, resist the temptation to avoid. Because if we follow any of those thoughts, if we follow through with any of those actions, we are teaching ourselves that the perception of attack is real. And it might be a very strong desire in us, a very strong drive in us that's asking us to defend, attack back, or avoid. And so it might take strength, determination, for us to do nothing and allow the events to be exactly as they are. But if we want to awaken, if that really is our purpose, if that's what we want above all else, we will find that determination. We will. I know that. I know that because I've done that. And there's absolutely nothing special about me. The only thing is that I want to awaken. I really do. And so I find that determination. And anyone else who wants to awaken will find that determination too. So starting with the paragraph that said, however, I'll read there again and then we'll read forward. However, if you see the opportunity to perceive attack and you resist by remembering you can choose differently, you are denying the world and its seeming reality. You are allowing events to be as they are by realizing that as they are is meaningless. In this way, you are instantly released from the perception of attack and free to respond to guidance that is not modeled by lack of clarity. Denying the world, you see, is very difficult for you because you want so much to believe in it. This is why you must resist temptation to succumb to the world and all of its worldly whims. Each time you are swept up into it, you hold on to it a little more. Looks like there was another word I didn't like in that opening paragraph. Holy Spirit says, you did not like the word succumb. Ah, because you aren't certain of its meaning. And you hate writing words when you are unsure of their meaning. That's a true statement. In all of the time that I have written with Holy Spirit, there has been a number of times when Holy Spirit has used words that I don't use. The truth is, I'm a simple girl from Kansas. I don't have a large vocabulary. And frequently, Holy Spirit uses words that I don't use, and I'm not even certain what they mean. And the ego, me, hates that, hates it, when Holy Spirit uses words that are not a part of my vocabulary. And so I had that particular experience here. You did not like the word succumb because you aren't certain of its meaning and you hate writing words when you are unsure of their meaning. This comes to you from your doubt and fear of God. You feel safer when you maintain the control of knowing, and you are terrified to resist the desire to control. But this is a perfect example of what I am teaching you now. In feeling you need to control a word, you are choosing the world as your reality and protection. You do this also in choosing to defend yourself against attack or fear. Each time you try to make yourself safe through attempted control in the world, You are succumbing to the whims of the world by believing you are separate and abandoned. This is not helpful to you. All right. Remember we talked about puppet a while ago, right? Be a puppet. I mean, really, would a puppet have an objection to using the word succumb? You see, when we're not being a puppet, Holy Spirit may guide us to say something to a friend, for example. And we may have no understanding whatsoever about why we're being guided to say that sentence. If we are a puppet, we will say it anyway. But if we are not a puppet, we might not say it. We might not say it at all. We might change how we say it. We might explain ourselves, like, look, I don't know why I'm saying this, but here's what I'm hearing. So, you know, and have to kind of justify it. And Holy Spirit is saying, if we aren't willing just to say or just to write what Spirit is giving us to say or to write, then the real reason for that is because we actually doubt God. I mean, the truth is, we doubt that the truth is true. There's a fear in us, that the making of the ego destroyed God. NTI explains this very well in NTI Luke chapter 21. If you haven't read that, you might want to if you have NTI. It explains very well this fear in our mind that the making of the ego destroyed God. That really the ego is all there is now. The world is all there is now. There is no God. And we demonstrate that fear when we are afraid to be the puppet. We demonstrate that fear when we are afraid to be the puppet, when we need an understanding of why we are being guided to say or do something. We need an understanding of what it means. That's a desire to control, and it comes from the fear or the doubt of God, the doubt of God. And of course, I have learned to just write what I hear and not judge it, not need to understand it. I've learned to just say what I'm guided to say and not need to understand it. I guess you could say I'm becoming a better puppet. And what was helpful to me in becoming a better puppet is understanding the resistance to being a puppet, understanding that that was from that doubt of God. And what I also understood then was that if I continued to need to understand what I was being given to write or what I was being given to say or what I was being given to do, if I continued to need that understanding, then I was actually protecting or keeping my doubt of God. By demanding understanding, I was allowing myself to keep the doubt of God. The only way that I could let go of the doubt of God was to let go of my desire to understand and be willing just to be the puppet without understanding. And again, that wasn't easy, because the part of my mind that doubted God, the part of my mind that was very fearful, wanted very, very much to understand. Right? And so I had to resist the temptation to need to understand. It took determination at first to be willing to write or be willing to say or to be willing to do without understanding why. But heck, even when I moved to Pueblo, I didn't understand why. But I learned to just trust God, not need to know why. just be the puppet. And as all of you may know, if you are also becoming better puppets, it's actually a whole lot more fun. The puppet is actually at peace. The one that is trying to understand and control is the one that is feeling stress and fear. Holy Spirit continues. You must resist temptation to succumb to the world's wish for separation by staying firmly in touch with your desire to know only truth. I'm going to read that sentence again. You must resist temptation to succumb to the world's wish for separation by staying firmly in touch with your desire to know only truth. As you let the whims of the world pass you by letting its thoughts pass by unclung to, you choose to deny the world and its seeming reality. In doing this, you choose to stop seeing as you have seen, and you make room, through invitation, for another way of seeing to enter. That's important too. If we insist on believing what we've always believed, seeing the way we've always seen, insist that our way of seeing is true, if we insist on holding on to our perspectives, our point of views, we aren't making room for the Holy Spirit's vision. We are keeping out what we're saying we want by insisting on what's already there. So we absolutely must be willing to be wrong about what we think and the way we see. And I'll tell you, that's another word that a lot of people don't like. Frequently, very frequently, in gatherings when I say that we need to be willing to be wrong, someone will speak up and say, "Not wrong." There's something about that word, wrong. But that's exactly what we are. You see? If we believe that the world is real, if we believe that people are attacking me, attacking you, if we believe that people are dying, we're wrong. We're wrong. We're wrong. We're wrong. That's not what's going on. And that's good news. The fact that we're wrong is not bad news. It doesn't make us guilty. That's good news. It's very good news that we're wrong. Why would we want to be right about that stuff? So if that's the way we see, if that's the world we see, then we want to be willing to be wrong. Absolutely. I mean, my God, with joy, let's be willing to be wrong. Okay? With joy, let's be willing to be wrong about that. And let's surrender the way we see and make room for Holy Spirit to give us another way to see. It's really very good news. Now, it looks like I didn't like the last statement. Oh, maybe I don't know what I didn't like. Let's read it. It says, "You didn't like this last statement." So the statement that I judge then is, in doing this, you choose to stop seeing as you have seen, and you make room through invitation for another way of seeing to enter. I'm not certain why I didn't like it, but let's find out. Holy Spirit says, you didn't like this last statement because it implied you could make a mistake. There you go. And I have taught you that mistakes are impossible. Ah. Oh, look at Jamie laying here. She wants me to stop and pet her belly. Hold on, you guys. I'm going to give her like two quick pets. you go. One thing that happens as we awaken, you know, y'all have heard the word paradox. One thing that happens as we awaken is there are a lot of paradoxes. Okay, there are a lot of paradoxes. For example, everything is perfect, there are no mistakes, and you are mistaken in the way that you see, right? And I used to hate paradoxes, hated them. When Holy Spirit would tell me in one message or in one paragraph that there are no mistakes, and then tell me in the next paragraph that I'm mistaken, I wanted to throw down my pen. So apparently that's what's happening here, as I'm remembering a message where Holy Spirit told me there are no mistakes, and I want Holy Spirit to always say that exact same sentence. I don't want Holy Spirit to use a sentence that then creates a paradox. So I didn't like it when Holy Spirit gave me a sentence that implied that the way I see may be a mistake. So let's continue reading. Let's see what Holy Spirit has to say about this. Again, you didn't like this last statement because it implied you could make a mistake, and I have taught you that mistakes are impossible. You want me to be consistent. Holy Spirit says, I am always consistent. When you are unaware of my consistency, you are not listening to me. You cannot make a mistake because you are free and you cannot change your reality. If you choose to cling to the world, that is not a mistake because it is your choice. In that way, it is perfect. But you will not know happiness if you make this choice. You are at peace and deep within the heart of joy when you are in harmony with yourself. You are in harmony with yourself when you choose in accordance with your one true desire to know thyself. Now, the simple example that comes into my mind as I read this paragraph is the example of wanting to go to a restaurant, right? I want to go to a restaurant. So I am driving, and I come to a particular corner where in order to get to the restaurant, I really should take a right. But I take a wrong. I take a left. Now, if you all know, you know that as long as I have a GPS or a map or willingness to realize at some point that I made a mistake, I can turn around, I can get different directions, and I will eventually find myself at the restaurant. It's really not a problem that I took a left instead of a right. But I'm not going to get there the soonest. Might be a little hungrier by the time I got there, that kind of thing. You know, we don't really want to go to a restaurant. What we want is perfect happiness. A Course in Miracles says God's will for us is perfect happiness. The truth is also that our will for us is perfect happiness. We want perfect happiness. That's what we want. And in order to have perfect happiness, we want to take a right. If we take a left, we are still going to eventually get there. The guidance will change to move us back in a different way, just like with the GPS, or we'll choose again, or something. We're all going to get to perfect happiness. We talked about that last night. Everyone is going to get to perfect happiness. And that way there are no mistakes. It's inevitable. Everybody's moving in the same direction. But we might not be taking the fastest route. We may have taken a left when taking a right would have been easier on us. So in that way, it's a mistake. Because, you know, we kind of, at least I would like to take the fastest route. So you see how the paradox is? There's not any true mistakes. In the end, we're all going to get there. But there was just no need to take a left. We could have gone right. Why not choose happiness sooner, since it's what we want? Why not get to the restaurant earlier, since we're already hungry? You know? Why not? So it's not a mistake with a capital M, but it can be a mistake in time. It can delay the answer. And the way we see, if we are seen through the filter of the ego, is a mistake. It is the obstacle to love's presence. It is delaying our joy. Why choose that? I'm going to go on with the next paragraph. If you choose to accept the world, and by this he means accept the world as truth, accept the world as your life, as your reality. If you choose to accept the world, you choose to deny yourself. This cannot make you happy, because this is disharmony within. When you choose to resist the world by denying its reality, you ask to know thyself. This is a request for love, made upon the reality of love. Love cannot say no to a request for love. In choosing to deny the world, you choose to know thyself. In this choice, there is happiness. Denying the world you see is very difficult for you, unless you focus upon your one true purpose, healing. In focusing on purpose, which is driven by desire, that which seemed difficult becomes simpler, because desire is the power that drives all choices. I mentioned to you all that often it took determination not to believe my ego, not to believe the story of the world, not to believe that I need to do something, change something to make sure that I'm happy or safe. But I also told you that I found that determination. And this is where I found it, in the desire to awaken. As A Course in Miracles says, above all else, I want to see. Above all else. Do you hear those words? That's where the determination came from, not to listen to the ego, when the ego was quite loud, quite insistent, and to be honest, seemed right. Sometimes the ego seemed right. It seemed like I was headed for some kind of danger, or it seemed like that person was attacking me, or that person was very, very wrong and I was very, very right. It seemed like I should listen to ego. And yet I recognized it as ego, because Holy Spirit taught me how to discern the difference. And just based on the difference that I knew it was ego, and just based on the knowing that I want to awaken, I was able to find the determination not to listen to ego, even though ego seemed right within my experience. You know, in NTI Matthew, Holy Spirit asks us to trust Him more than everything we see, hear, and experience. If we're going to believe what we see, what we hear, what we experience, and say that is true, that's what's going on here, that's what's happening, then we are literally refusing the opportunity to awaken. Remember the paragraph we read up above? We have to let go of how we see in order to make room for how the Holy Spirit sees. In NTI Matthew, Holy Spirit asks us to trust Him more than what we see or hear or experience. And I will tell you that that can sometimes take determination. That can sometimes mean I have to resist the temptation to do or say whatever ego is clamoring for me to do or say. The experience proves I'm right. The ego has the answer to the problem. The only way I'm not going to fall for that is to want to awaken above all else. To be willing to trust the Holy Spirit more than what I see, what I hear, what I experience. I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anyone wants to share at the end of this message before we go to a next message. All right. Is all well at rda.com? Monica is asking. As far as I know, all is well at rda.com. I think time will tell more than anything else. But to the best of my knowledge, it is. Here's the link to the page that we're on now. We're in November 2006. And the next message is a short message, which is nice. Again, if you were reading along with me, you're going to want to scroll up to Expressing Gratitude Through Symbols. It looks like it's dated Wednesday, November 29th, 2006. If you're just now clicking on the link, it's going to be at the top of the page. Expressing Gratitude Through Symbols. Dev Gary is asking, is there a certain way to know when to do something? When there is nothing in you that needs to do something. This is a funny answer. But and then I see Stan has his hand up, so I'll turn it over to him next. But if you perceive a problem, if you perceive something that needs to be fixed, if you perceive something that needs to be changed, then you are not in your right mind. And that's the best time to do nothing except watch your mind, let go of ego, seek clarity. When you are at peace, you're okay with everything just as it is, you're willing to let it be as it is, and then something moves you to say or do something, you can trust that and just follow that. So the real check is, first, are you in your right mind? Are you the one that thinks something needs to change? If so, then that is not the time. But yeah, when at peace, when you're in acceptance and then moved, then follow that. Also, I see Lisa saying, should you seek painful situations in order to awaken? The answer to that question is no, you should not seek out painful situations in order to awaken. However, when we are not awakened, painful situations will find us. We don't have to seek them, they will find us. And what Holy Spirit teaches in NTI 2 Timothy, if you want to read that, NTI 2 Timothy, is that we do not want to avoid situations. Avoiding is a type of defense. So, Stan, I'm going to turn the mic over to you now.
I want to ask you, Regina, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, are they one the same, or are they the same person, or are they, if they're, you know, they're in the same group of the Holy Spirit? I just want to ask you that. There's another question I want to ask you. Are you coming out with a new book anytime soon?
It's Stan.
My gift
Yeah, Jasmine must have recognized your voice because she goes, "Who was that?" I said, "That's Dan." She goes, "From our church?" So, yes, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the same. In fact, in A Course in Miracles, Jesus says that he is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So we could say that for us, you know, for in order to be helpful to us, the name of Jesus puts the idea of a person on the Holy Spirit. But Jesus and the Holy Spirit are exactly the same. And in fact, as any of us awaken, we are the same with that one mind, that one right mind. So we're all that. The second question, am I coming out with a book soon? I know nothing, Stan. I could sit here and say, no, I'm not, and then there may be one. What has been happening for the last few years is I have often in the morning been guided to write down single quiet thoughts, or lately they've been single quiet prayers. And when those reach a point of completion, they may very well be a book. But I am not putting any effort into writing them. I'm not putting, it's not even my thought. When it comes and I write it down. When it doesn't come, I'm doing whatever I'm doing. So I have no idea about any book. Well, that's just something we'll have to wait and see together, okay? And then Lisa, you have your hand up, so I'm turning the mic over to you.
Sorry. I just wanted to briefly address what Lisa had asked about whether or not to seek a painful situation, or if there is a painful situation before you, should you opt for it or should you choose happiness instead? And it has been very important to me to keep my focus on the Holy Spirit, on the truth, on the peace for God, and say, well, that is what I want. I got into the trap of the ego, of staring at my navel and picking up and looking for drama, thinking that I needed to do that to heal and to awaken, wanting so much for all of the blocks to be removed ASAP. And I was inadvertently directing the miracle, or trying to anyway, and I was told to not do that. The Holy Spirit said that I could end up terrifying myself, confusing myself, and mainly it is the same part of the mind that sees the problem is not the part of the mind that sees the solution. It's not the part of the mind that is able to affect the miracle. And so it is really important that I just turn it all over to the Holy Spirit and trust that whatever happens is for me. And so if there is a painful situation, a conflict, it's an outer conflict that's a reflection of the inner conflict in my mind, and something has come up for healing, and I'll know it's a real doozy if it's coming up in more than one way. But just to trust and to immediately not think for myself, not try to solve it myself, but to realize that I do feel like I'm suffering. There is something coming up. I need to know what the truth is, but I'm not going to decide for myself what that is, and realize that it is the Holy Spirit bringing it to my awareness for my healing. And in that, trusting that the Holy Spirit will do that, that whatever is needed, the world is a classroom, the body is a communication device, and every encounter is a holy encounter. In that, I trust that whatever needs to heal will be brought up, will be triggered, whatever needs to happen for me to become aware of what I am thinking that needs to be brought to the Holy Spirit for a purification. So it's important that I don't decide for myself. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. I don't know if I ever chased after difficult situations out of a desire to heal. But I have known people who did seem to do that too. I like the way you said that. I think you said something like you were staring at your navel. I don't know exactly what you said, but you know, trying to force it up. And Holy Spirit once used the term with me, warrior, that when people do that, they're trying to be a warrior, and that actually the ego is behind that. The ego is behind that warrior that's trying to push things up. And that's not going to work for us, as we all know, that the ego cannot heal us. So, and at the same time, because of the errors in our mind, because they are not healed, situations naturally attract themselves to us. We don't have to make them happen. Situations that scare us, situations that upset us, naturally come. And when these situations naturally come, we do have choices to make. One thing it doesn't hurt to be aware of is our own readiness. It does not hurt to be aware of our own readiness. I knew when I was ready to face difficult situations. I knew I was ready. There was an inner knowing. If we know that we're ready to face difficult situations, and if we want to heal above all else, then when these situations arise on their own, without us forcing them up, when these situations just happen, then we won't want to avoid them, or we won't want to try to control or fix the situations ourselves, because we are ready to face them, to go through them with Holy Spirit, to listen to Holy Spirit, to allow the errors in our mind to be seen, to be let go. But again, we need to know within ourselves when we're ready for that. We can scare ourselves by going too fast. We can not be helpful to ourselves. So it's a matter of knowing our own readiness and being willing to listen to our own readiness. Holy Spirit is gentle with us. We can be gentle with us. And at the same time, if we are gentle with us, we'll also know when we do not want to avoid because we want to go through this and heal. We will know that for ourselves. So none of us can tell another person if they're ready to face a situation or if they should take a right turn and not go there. Only that person can know. All right? Lisa says, are you saying that choosing against a bad experience says we are not ready to wake up? What I am saying, and I'll just say it as clearly as I can. Okay, yeah, I understand, Lisa. I know where you're coming from. I know what's going on. Okay, so what I am saying, I'll say it as clearly as I can, is that there will be something in me, that will tell me, do not avoid this. It's helpful to go through it. This is for your purification. I may not hear those words, but I'll know that feeling. So if that something in me is telling me, go through this, then it is time. If I'm not hearing it yet, it might not be time. Lisa, I'm going to turn the mic back over to you.
Actually, you pretty much just said what I wanted to say, but there is a, a tendency in this to go to one extreme or the other. Either I dare not or need not look. I should be focused on just, I'm happy, you know, say pleasant sounding affirmations, and I'm happy, and then we end up with the acronym for FINE. I'm fine, you know, effed up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Which is denying. It's just denying what we're truly feeling and denying the opportunity to heal. And then there is the, you know, the other experience where we'll sit there and we will feed it. We will feel this feeling and we will feed it. We have a judgment about someone and we'll add 10 more judgments to it. We'll make it, we'll just blow it all the way up. And that's not helpful either. So I can sit there and completely shut down in anger, resentment, or depression by exaggerating it, or I could, you know, and adding to it, or I can completely deny it and dissociate and just tell myself that things are really good, I'm not a body anyway, none of this really matters, blah, blah. And yet, still there'll be this thing that'll keep happening, I'll keep having the same experience, or the same feeling, or the same judgment, whatever. And it hasn't gone away. And so it's really helpful just to be really, really honest with myself, with the Holy Spirit. That is key. It is so, so important. I'm getting chills in my body right now from what I'm saying. It is so important to be present for the holy instant, to be completely honest about what I think is going on and how I feel, and give it to the Holy Spirit and say, I really admit this is how I feel. I admit this is what I think is going on. I know this cannot be true because I'm suffering. Please show me what the truth is. If I do not allow it to be brought up to my awareness, if I tell myself I shouldn't feel that way, I am denying the opportunity and I am delaying. I'm delaying it because I'm pushing it down, and it's like one of those bobbing heads at the amusement park. It's going to come back through that hole. It's going to bob right back up again. Or maybe it's one of those floaties in the water. You know, you try to push it down and then it pops back up again. If it's coming up, it's coming up for a reason. If it's in my mind and it's causing me a great loss of peace, it is very helpful for me to get it the rest of the way out. Just ask the Holy Spirit what the truth is in that moment, because there is a reason why I have lost my peace. There's a reason why I feel like a situation is so intense, where something is really going on. There's a reason. There is an inner conflict manifesting itself in a projection of an outer conflict, and the Holy Spirit can use that to heal my mind. So thanks for letting me share again.
Yeah, and Lisa, I was just reading what you wrote. You said, I think it is important to be gentle with oneself and not seek unnecessary pain. That may be your answer. That may be your answer in this particular situation. I would say that if you were to go into this situation head on for the purpose of healing, you would know that. There would be a knowing in you. If that knowing is not there, if what you really feel in your gut is that it's best not to go into this situation, then that may be what's best for you. And again, none of us can answer that for you. No one can, Lisa. You need to know within yourself. You're saying pain intensifies belief in the ego. I want to tell you also that the ego hides behind our pain. Again, avoiding pain ultimately keeps the ego in place. So that's the funny story here. That's why at some point we will each be willing to walk through these situations because we're ready. But to walk through the situations before we are ready is not helpful. If what your inner guidance is to be gentle with yourself now by not going, to go against that guidance could be hurtful. So, but at the same time, if your guidance was telling you to go and only fear was keeping you away, I would say ignore the fear and go. And what I'm trying to do, Lisa, is I'm trying to listen to your words and hear and help you hear what your guidance is. And it seems that maybe your guidance is more that it might not be time to go head on into a difficult situation, that it might be time to lay back and be gentle with yourself. But check that within you. Be sure within you. And then whatever you choose, I love you. All right? Stan, I'm turning the mic over to you. By the way, my time is up. So Stan, if you can keep it short, that would be great. Here you go.
What I was going to say about that was when the time is right with anything, you know, it will show itself to you. But sometimes, you know, we try to get a little ahead of ourselves and try to jump into situations. A lot of times when we try to do that, we'll run into bumps in the road and we'll feel them. And we'll see that we should have waited. But always try to go with your guidance. And if it don't feel right, don't go with it, because I'm the type of person, I jump so far ahead of what I'm supposed to be doing, then I run into, you know, bumps in the road, and I wonder why I didn't listen. So from experience, you know, just sit back and think it out before you do anything. But, yeah, Regina, I really appreciate you coming doing that little speaking thing for me Tuesday night. And I'm pretty sure, you know, River, the guy that helps run the room, he probably have plenty of questions for you. And I can't wait to see you Tuesday night and hear you speak.
Yeah, see you Tuesday, Stan. Stan has invited me to speak in another Pal Talk room on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Stan, if you know the name of that room, if you could write it in just in case anybody else wants to come. If we get there too early, the room actually won't be open. So if you can't find the room, it's just because they haven't opened it yet. It's not open all of the time like this room is. It seems like it was called the Meditation and Contemplation something or other. I don't know, Stan. If you know the name, you could type it in. But okay, I'm letting go of the mic. I will be back here in this room on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time for Awakenings. I love you all very much. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Jasmine says.